Our meditation today is in Psalm 62. And I had a note for those listening over the internet. The ambiance around may sound a little odd since we're meeting outdoors today. We'll note that this is to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. David is the earthly writer. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the one who writes, as with all the psalms, through him. Truly my soul waits silently for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. As I was studying this, giving it a look over last night, I was interested to see that commentaries are calling this the only psalm. There's a word in the Hebrew in here that is seldom used all that much, but it's used a bunch in this psalm, and that is the word that is translated only, or surely, or truly. It's used 6 times in this psalm. We don't know the circumstances of David's writing. We don't particularly need to. Several men had conjectures. Several men had guesses. But they admitted that's all they were. What we do know is that David often was in affliction. David often had complaint and fear and prayer that God might rescue and deliver him. God so moved in David in whatever this circumstance was that none of that is found here. There is no direct prayer. There is no fear. There is no complaint. There is confidence and growing confidence. There is thanksgiving to God for what he does and is doing, and praise to him for what he is. Believers are not always on the same plane of spirituality. We go up, we go down. We're fickle. We're easily led into fears that we don't need to be. Sometimes into unreasonable confidence. But that flattens in a large way. Or maybe I should say it goes more in an upward climb as we grow in holiness. Because the more we look to Jesus, the more we see him, his marvelous person, his saving work, the more we gain in confidence ourselves. We don't go to ridiculous highs like Peter asking to step out onto the water. We don't literally go to the depths like Peter when he looked away. We always look to Jesus and trust him as we grow in holiness, as we grow in grace, a growth, by the way, that is guaranteed by God. Now then, we see here David starts out in verses 1 and 2 trusting in God only. Truly, he says, that's that word I was talking about, my soul silently waits for God. And actually, it could be more literally translated, my soul silently waits for God only. That is his only hope, but that is his sure hope. He only, there's that word again, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He is stating, and all believers with him who continue to look to Jesus, that though it may be there's going to be a nudge, there's not going to be great movement. He is not going to be tossed, for example, into anything that is ultimately bad, into anything that ultimately will take him away from his God, from his Savior. Now he then looks to the enemy round about, but does not quail, does not fear. No, he pronounces upon the enemy in verses 3 and 4 their sin with the implication of the judgment that awaits them. He knows, David confidently knows, that those who fight God, those who fight his Christ, those who fight his church, ultimately are condemned. They cannot win. They cannot win. God may allow them, Jesus, God's mediatorial king, may allow them to make what appears to be some progress, what appears to be some growth. But to use imagery, say, from Isaiah chapter 40, they just grow up so they can be cut down. Well, we have a Selah there. Not a pause that refreshes, as Coca-Cola used to talk about, but a pause to consider. To consider these things. And so we start out with similar verses or similar words yet again. Verse 5 is very like to verse 1. Verse 2 is almost identical. My soul waits silently for God alone, or for God only. There's that word again. For my expectation is from him. From him has come my faith. From him has come my ability to trust in him. Because he's allowed me to see him and to know him. He only is my rock and my salvation. The rock that's firm, the rock that's protective, the salvation that rescues and delivers him from enemies outside and from the enemy of sin inside. I shall not be moved. Do you notice the one change from verse 2? In verse 2 he says, I shall not be greatly moved. But as his confidence has arisen, as he is looking more to Jehovah, the God of the covenant, as he looks more to the King who will come, he says, no, not even greatly. Not even a little. I will not be moved. God will not allow it. And so once again, then, he goes into the same path. Well, he first talks to his fellow believers. This is the God we can trust in. This is the God in whom we can have utter confidence. So trust in him at all times, you people. If you got a problem, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't let yourselves fall into despair. No, cry out to him. Pour out your heart before him. Because God in Jesus Christ is a refuge for us. Selah. Selah. Think about that. Now, in verses 9 and 10, we have a condemnation of the wicked once again, and of those who seem powerfully arrayed against God and his Christ. And there is a warning to them. You may seem strong to yourself, you may seem strong to others, but it's an illusion. It's a hallucination. It's got no more reality than a dream. People that are the mass that you've got tied up with them, they're like fog. They get blown away. And the men of high degree, the powerful ones who lead, they're just a lie. They don't have any reality to them. If you weigh them out on the scales, they're lighter than vapor. Children, You have a scale. Did you ever try to weigh fog? Doesn't register much on there, does it? So don't trust in oppression. Don't hope stupidly, uselessly, pointlessly in robbery. And if by godly means riches increase, don't set your heart on them. No, rather, trust in Jehovah. Trust in the God of mercy and of power that we see spoken of in verses 11 and 12. God is powerful to save His people. He is merciful to save His people. He is the sovereign God. He is the good God in Jesus Christ. Let us hold to both of these people to whom the Spirit speaks through David. Let us hold to both of these. He is strong to smite our enemies, strong to preserve us, kind, loving, merciful, gracious to save us in and through Jesus Christ.